Chapter 15. 1999. LP loved 1999, as in, party like it's. He felt like things were spiraling out of control, but in a weird way, this also didn't faze him. With Y2K approaching, the shit was getting out of control and the hype was unreal. He tried to remind himself, wasn't it The Simpsons that had done a great recap of what Y2K was going to be like? Planes falling out of the sky. Everything stopping. The movies couldn't be beat, though. The Matrix. Office Space. American Beauty. For LP, it wasn't a surprise that Hollywood had tapped into the zeitgeist, pumping out movies about self-identity in a world of mayhem. And the music. OMG, the music. The Charlatans. For us and us only. Eminem's Slim Shady. Summer Teeth by Wilco, Moby's Play, Battle of Los Angeles from Rage Against the Machine, 13 from Blur, The White Stripes, and so much more. Raves were all the craze, as was consumption of copious amounts of ecstasy, cocaine, Ritalin, and whatever else partiers could get their hands on so that they could keep the partying going. LP was caught up in the tech side of things, witnessing the launches of Napster and iTunes that year. He tried a few ventures and somehow managed to walk away with a little coin in his pocket after being bought out by an independent music label. LP thought of himself as being somewhat up to speed with current events, but in reality, he had walked haplessly into the protests that erupted in London the morning after a very long rave in an abandoned warehouse. The sun was still low in the sky, when the first few people started gathering in Euston Station. It was 5:30 in the morning, but already the station was humming with anticipation. People were shouting, singing and chanting, their voices echoing off the walls of the station. Some of them were dressed in black, wearing ski masks and carrying signs with slogans like, "Our resistance is as transnational as capital. No WTO and WTO destroys forests." Others were waving flags in a show of solidarity with protesters from all around the world. The crowd was getting bigger by the minute, and as the sun started to peek over the horizon, more and more people flooded into the station. Word had spread quickly about the planned protest, and throngs of people were coming to join in. By the time the police arrived, the station was packed with thousands of protesters, all shouting, singing, and chanting. The police tried to break up the crowd, but the protesters refused to budge. In response, police began firing tear gas, and the protesters pushed back with chants of, "No WTO! No way!" As the swarms of people grew, the police began to use batons in an effort to disperse the crowd, but the protesters held their ground. Finally, mounted police were called in, again to no avail. Meanwhile, around the world, similar scenes were taking place. In Seattle, thousands of protesters had taken to the streets in an attempt to stop the WTO summit from taking place. The streets were filled with people carrying banners and flags of protest, and the protesters loudly voiced their opposition to corporate globalization and unfair trade practices. In London, the police continued to try to break up the crowd at Euston Station, but the protesters still refused to budge. Finally, a small group managed to break through the police line and formed a human chain, which stopped the police advance. As the morning light grew brighter, the atmosphere in the station began to change. In addition to singing and chanting, people began to dance. The police redoubled their efforts. The cacophony of raised voices, horns blaring, and the distant wail of sirens filled the air as LP stood amid the chaos. His heart raced in his chest and adrenaline coursed through his veins as he witnessed the raw passion and anger on display all around him. "Down with the capitalists!" shouted a nearby protester, shaking his fist in the air. "This world belongs to everyone, not just the rich!" "Save our Earth!" cried another, her face painted with the image of a weeping planet. "End corporate greed," LP joined in, feeling strangely alive for the first time in years. It was during one such chant that he caught sight of a woman he would later know only as Artius. Her fiery red hair whipped around her face as she passionately screamed her convictions, her eyes ablaze with unyielding determination. A tear gas canister exploded nearby, creating an intense, unearthly aura around her that LP would always remember. "Stop stealing the planet!" she roared as she hurled eggs against the SWAT teams and riot squads. She then hoisted a banner covered with obscure symbols high into the air. She was a force of nature, LP thought, a living embodiment of the ideals they were fighting for. In that brief moment, LP knew he had fallen hopelessly in love with her, or at least in lust. The protests continued, and the police and riot squads corralled the protesters into a smaller and smaller area, a tactic known as kettling. It was a barbaric way to treat the people who were ultimately paying their salaries. The protesters were trapped among the terraces of the city square, and despite the mayhem all around them, LP's attention was now fully on Artius. She was the only thing that mattered to him. He stood in silent awe as she smashed the window of a police car with what looked like a golf club, shattered glass spraying everywhere, and her hair whipping around her face. The scene made her look like a mirror ball had swallowed a sun. More police and other more menacing-looking enforcers arrived and started firing tear gas at the mobs of protesters. The crowd resisted, and people began to throw anything they could get their hands on. Many now had tears in their eyes, LP noticed, but whether this was from the gas or from heightened emotions, he couldn't really tell. A small group of people, including LP and the woman who called herself Artius, ran down a small alley to avoid the larger police units, some of them smashing windows as they ran along. No one thought about the owners of mom and pop shops that got caught in the middle of passion and greed. Soon, it was just LP and Artius running in fear, panic, and at last, amusement, as if Cerberus were on their heels. When they felt the threat of arrest and jail time had faded, their steps began to slow. Suddenly, she grabbed at him and pulled him into an alcove, and they went at it like nothing was happening around them. LP found solace in her arms, their shared beliefs, and their desire to make the world a better place. They made their way back to her apartment through the now empty streets and didn't leave her bedroom for 3 days. As quickly as their love ignited, it burned out again, and she vanished from his life, leaving only memories and a yearning for something more. He was left alone in her small apartment. As he assembled his clothing and other personal belongings, he wandered from room to room, admiring the massive array of computer gear and the typical and yet somehow really odd posters. Greenpeace, a snake eating its tail, a picture of Artemis, images of mazes and curious Celtic symbols, several paintings of what looked like Pan and other nymphs in the woods, a silhouette of a large man with antlers. He just figured she was a tech geek and a nature freak and decided to move on. Despite the arrests and assaults by the police, the organizers declared that the carnival against capital had been a success. It sent a clear global message about the power of the people. As the sun rose that morning, it seemed that a new era of protest had begun, and it was one that would usher in a new era of social change. 1999 didn't end in disaster as many in the media or technology industries predicted, but it did end in a very incomplete and messy way for LP, much like a musical piece without resolution to the tonic note. 2003. Another year, another grim feeling that society is on the verge of collapse, LP thought to himself. It was 2003, and the US had just illegally invaded Iraq. People had taken to the streets on a global scale to show their disapproval. LP was still in London, and once again, he found himself shouldering through throngs of protesters. Things hadn't changed much since 1999. The world still felt like it was spiraling out of control after the terrorist attacks in the US in 2001, and there was a growing sense of unease that anarchy was about to blister and pop everywhere you went. Global affairs weren't the only thing that LP was hoping had changed. He was optimistic that he would have another encounter with the incredible woman that he had met 4 years prior at similar protests. As before, he became caught up in the protests, but at the same time, he was constantly scanning the crowds for the woman that he knew only as Artius. "End the war!" he shouted, his voice hoarse from hours of chanting. "Stop the senseless slaughter!" echoed another protester, her eyes filled with righteous fury. "Blood for oil! Oil for blood!" screamed a man nearby. LP didn't know what to make of that comment, but went along with the energy. "End the war! End the war!" LP chanted again, feeling that familiar fire welling up inside him. There was something about being with thousands of other like-minded people that made him feel welcome, part of a community. Not much had changed over the last 4 years, however. Yelling and screaming seemed to punish only the protesters. The owners of the planet could care less about what was happening. Suddenly, amid the chaos of protest signs and angry voices, he saw her, Artius. She still wore the badges that adorned her khaki camo clothing, symbols of her dedication to various green causes. The only difference now was that she was standing on the sidelines. She was holding a small banner, but she seemed softened and more at peace with herself, as though she no longer loved the pain and the energy of the protests, and was here only as a spectator. The fire that once burned so brightly in her eyes seemed to have dimmed. "End the war!" she called out weakly, her voice lacking the fervor that had captured LP's heart 4 years prior. "End the war!" LP responded, his eyes locked on hers. For a brief moment, it was as if time stood still, and they were back in 1999, united by their passion and shared beliefs. "End the war!" they chanted together, each knowing that their fight was far from over. But then, as her voice died away, she turned and disappeared into the crowd. LP followed. "Excuse me," he muttered, pushing past a group of activists with raised fists. He needed to talk to her, to see if there was any hope of rekindling the passion they had once shared. "Hey," he called out as he finally reached her. Her back was turned toward him as she painted a mural denouncing Acheron energy. Again, her movement seemed mechanical, lacking the fervent energy he remembered. Artius turned around, her face streaked with paint, her eyes dull and tired. "Hey," she said, blinking. "Hey," LP repeated, his heart racing. I saw you here. We had a moment, and I just wanted to say hi." "Hi," she replied, her tone flat. She turned back to her mural, dipping her brush into a can of paint. "Things have changed since 1999, huh?" LP ventured, searching for a way to connect with her. "Everything's changed," she agreed, her voice distant. "But some things stay the same." She gestured at the surrounding chaos. "We're still fighting." "Right we are," LP said, trying to match her somber tone. "But do you ever think about us? About what we had?" Artius paused, her brush hovering an inch above the wall. She looked at him, her gaze unreadable. "We were caught up in the moment, LP. It was never meant to last." "Maybe not," LP admitted, his throat tight. "But it was real. We were real." "Real enough," she conceded, her eyes darting back to her unfinished mural. "But that was then, and this is now. We can't go back." "Are you saying there's nothing left between us?" LP asked, his voice barely audible above the roar of the crowd. "LP," she sighed, finally setting down her brush and meeting his eyes again. "We were two people united by a cause, but we've both changed. I don't feel the same way anymore." "Neither do I," he admitted, swallowing hard, "but I still care about you." "Then let's just be friends," she suggested, her tone almost pleading. "Let's fight for what we believe in, together, as comrades." "All right," LP agreed, his heart heavy with the knowledge that the passion they had once shared was gone, never to return. "Friends." "Friends," Artius echoed, offering a small sad smile. She packed up her gear and turned away, blending into the crowd. LP tried again to follow her, but she was gone. The days following his conversation with Artius were a blur of apathy. LP could feel the gaping chasm inside him growing wider, swallowing up any remnants of hope he had left. He was drowning in the aftermath of their failed reconnection, and he sought solace in the only way he knew how: music, drugs, and alcohol. "Oi, LP!" shouted Tim, one of his fellow DJs, as they huddled together in a dilapidated East London warehouse for an impromptu rave. "You all right, mate? You've been hitting it pretty hard tonight." "Fine," LP mumbled, barely registering the concern in his friend's voice. He took another swig from the bottle of cheap vodka clutched in his hand. The acrid taste burned its way down his throat, but the numbness it brought was a welcome reprieve from the pain that consumed him. In the background, the thumping bass of the music vibrated through the floor and into his very bones, a chaotic symphony of noise that mirrored the turmoil inside him. "Maybe you should slow down a bit," Tim suggested, eyeing the dwindling contents of the bottle warily. "Fuck off!" LP spat, pushing past him and stumbling toward the makeshift dance floor. He didn't want advice. He wanted oblivion. He danced with reckless abandon, letting the music consume him as he tried to forget the feeling of Artius's cool detachment, her words echoing in his mind like a broken record. "We can't go back." But the drugs and alcohol weren't enough. No matter how much he consumed, the void remained, gnawing away at him until he felt hollow, a shell of the man he used to be. It was during a particularly brutal hangover that the thought occurred to him, maybe it was time for a change, a fresh start, far away from the ghosts of his past and the political unrest that seemed to suffocate him at every turn. He needed a reprieve from the intensity of the London music scene, a place where he could escape the demons that haunted him. "I know a pile of people that live in Toronto," he mused aloud, staring at the map spread across his coffee table. "Canada, it's time to return home." The decision was made. LP's fingers danced over the battered keys of his laptop, booking a one-way ticket as a feeling of determination surged through him. In a few days, he would leave everything behind, the amazing music scene, but also the seemingly endless protests, the drugs, and most importantly, the memory of Artius. "Goodbye, London," LP whispered into the night, closing his laptop with a sense of finality. The uncertainty of his future loomed ahead, but it was a challenge he was willing to face, armed with nothing but a burning desire for change.